Amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight and be in the service and appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And he's been good to us again today. And I won't take very long tonight, but I want you to look in the book of Revelation and the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be in chapter 4 and a little bit in chapter 5 for a moment. And we'll just spend a moment or two here. And I want to thank you for allowing us to be here and be in the services. We had a wonderful day on Sunday, enjoyed that greatly. And then I had a wonderful time looking at books in the library, amen, and enjoyed that. And appreciate the Congdons, we've been staying out there, appreciate their hospitality. And it's always a blessing to come down to Haines City into Landmark Baptist Church. Appreciate the choir tonight, did a wonderful job. I want to preach for a few moments tonight on heaven. And in chapter number 4 and chapter 5, the Bible said in verse 1, we're in Revelation, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald." Now, when you read that passage, I believe we have a picture here of the rapture, John going up. Now, when you say that, some of the intellectuals and some of those folks that are highly educated, they laugh at that and look down at that. But we're not going to find the church after this because the church has been raptured out. I'm a premillennial, pre-tribulation Bible believer. But we read a little bit about heaven, and we'll look at some more verses here in a moment. But I don't know if you noticed it, but some things were mentioned here that I've never seen before, this throne and the rainbow round about it. I was talking to a little girl one day, and I was talking to her about heaven. And she's a saved little girl, had been born again, and I was talking to her about heaven, and I was surprised to find that she was not excited about heaven. She was not interested. It did not thrill her. It didn't do for her what it did for me when we talked about heaven. And so I was wondering why that was. So I talked about her a little bit more and a little more in depth and tried to find out maybe why she was not excited about heaven. And here's what I discovered. She was not excited about heaven because what she'd heard about heaven was walls of jasper, and she'd never seen one. She'd heard about gates of pearl, and she'd never seen one. She heard about the river of, that flows and the tree of life and the things that went on. The things that she had heard about heaven were things that she'd never seen and were unfamiliar to her. So we talked a little more, and here's what we decided. We decided that heaven is a place that sounds a lot like home. That heaven is a familiar place. So he said, "Well, preacher, you just read some things that aren't very familiar to me." I know, but that's not all there is in heaven. Heaven is going to be a familiar place when we get there. When we get there, heaven's going to be a lot like home. There are some things I think about when I go to heaven. I think about that I am familiar with in this life that I will be familiar with when I get to heaven. I remember, I think it was Thomas Brooks, it might have been Richard Baxter, one of those fellas said this. He said, "That which will make us most happy throughout eternity ought to give us great joy while we meditate upon it in this life." Old Sam Jones, the old Methodist preacher, said, "I never preach on heaven." Somebody said, "Why?" He said, "Because most of the folks I preach to aren't going, and the ones that are going will find out what it's like when we get there." But the truth of the matter is, heaven ought to encourage us and the thoughts of heaven, because I am familiar with some things that go on in heaven. I'm going to give you two or three of them, and then we'll be done. When I go here to Revelation chapter 5 and think about heaven, I'd say to you, first of all, I am familiar with the prince that governs over there. I'm familiar with the Lord of heaven. When we read about this one that sat upon the throne, he had a stone like a jasper and a sardine stone. If you'll study those, that's the first
and last of the stones in the breastplate. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and Omega. There's not much question in my mind as to who this is seated upon the throne in heaven. And I like the fact that there is a rainbow around that throne, and it's emerald in color, and I like to call it the rainbow of mercy. We've not seen a rainbow down here where we've seen the whole thing, but my friend Joe Arthur told me that he was in an airplane up above the storm, and he saw a rainbow and saw the complete circle of it. I've never seen that, but I'll tell you one thing. One of these days when I get past the storms of this life and I get above the troubles of this life in heaven, I'll see that rainbow round about the throne. And it pictures, I think, the grace and the mercy of God. And so God, the Lord Jesus, seated on the throne, has to look through that rainbow to see me, and I have to look through it to see him. I'm glad when he looks on me, he looks in mercy, and I can't see him unless I've experienced the mercy of God. But I'm familiar with the prince of that country. We read a little bit about him over in chapter 5. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, and he's also the Lamb having been slain. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has the ability to dispossess the imposter that has the title deed to the earth. He's going to take it back. He is the Lamb that was slain. He paid the purchase price, and he's the kinsman, the root and the offspring of David, we read in another place, and he has the right to redeem. But I noticed something about this Lamb in this passage that interests me. If you look over in chapter number 5, it says this, and I, verse 6, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, now watch this, stood a Lamb as it had been slain. Now there's a problem there. There's a problem in your Bible there. Stood a Lamb as it had been slain. Slain lambs don't stand up. But this slain Lamb is standing. Something has happened to him. He has resurrected, amen, and it's talking about the Lord Jesus. I'm familiar with him. You familiar with him tonight? Do you know him? Do you remember when you was a lost sinner and the sweet Holy Ghost came by, you'd heard the preaching of the Word of God, and he brought conviction to your heart, and faith sprang up, and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then he took up residence in you in the person of the Holy Spirit? Are you familiar with him? It'll not be strange when we get to heaven and look on his face, because you and I that are saved, we've been in love with him since we got saved, and we've been enjoying his love and enjoying his mercy and enjoying his grace and enjoying his fellowship, and we'll just take step over into yonder and we will enjoy it even more. And so I think about, I'm familiar with the Lord of that country. I'm familiar with his love. I'm familiar with his life. I'm familiar with his leadership. Does he lead you? Does he speak to you in your heart? Sure he does. I remember I was preaching one time up in Ambassador Baptist Church in Hudson, North Carolina, and I got to preach it in a big way, and I'm usually a three-point preacher. You probably know that. You've heard me preach. And I had 3 points, and I got through the first one, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, quit. That's enough. I didn't hear any audible voices. I just knew he wanted me to stop. I didn't want to stop because I had 2 more points, and I didn't know what I was going to do with them if I quit. You know, you can't put them in the microwave and warm them up. But the Lord wanted me to stop, so I stopped after that first point, and 7 people come forward and got saved. There was a lady that was in the nursery listening over the speaker. She tried to go home under conviction, stopped in a phone booth and called the preacher, and he led her to the Lord over the phone. It was just an unusual service. I was glad I quit when he told me to quit. You familiar with his leadership? He speaks to us. He helps us. He guides us. I'm familiar with the prince that governs there. But let me say something else to you. I'm not only familiar with the prince that governs there, I'm familiar with the people that are gathered there, the population. I'm familiar with a lot of folks in heaven, aren't you? And you know, there's some folks I'm familiar with in heaven whom I've never met. So what do you mean, preacher? Well, I've been spending a lot of time with those Old Testament patriarchs. I've been getting in my Bible and reading about them. I feel like I know them. You feel that way sometimes? I feel like I've stood on the shore of the Red Sea with Moses. I feel like I've heard him cry out to God. I've been in my prayer closet reading my Bible. And I'm not talking about some mystical thing. I'm not talking about some ghostly thing. I'm just talking about in my heart. It was like I was there. It became surreal to me. And I've spent time. I've limped along with Jacob along the way. And I've been with Joseph as he was thrown in that pit and carried off into Egypt. I've studied about him and I've preached about him. I sometimes wonder if I get to heaven, and some of them won't say, you know, you didn't have that part just exactly right. I don't know if that'll happen or not. But I've preached about them. I feel like I know them, that population that has gathered over there. There's a great reunion going to take place one of these days. We're going to have a great reunion. I thought about, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah said this. He said, if you could measure the heavens. And I thought about measuring heaven. How could you? I know there's different heavens, the third heaven and all that, but how could you measure heaven? I know we can measure the city. John gives us the measurements of that city. But heaven itself, how can you measure an eternal ruler like Jesus? There's no measurement to him. He's bigger than anything you could imagine. How can you measure an everlasting reunion? One that never ends. You ever go to a family reunion? You go in there and you spend the day and you see this one and that one, and finally you get in the car to go home and you say, I never got a chance to speak to Aunt Mary. I never even saw Uncle Bill. Was he there? But we're going to a reunion that will never, ever get over. It'll be forever. It'll be a wonderful day. John, he sees a throne there in heaven. He hears the throng that's there. He hears a theme. There's an endless refrain in heaven that the people in heaven are singing. When we come here and sing, people are so kind to us. And I know I can't sing. The girls sing. I just own the van. That's why I get to come along. But people are so kind, and they'll say, would you sing this one? It's my favorite. Would you sing that one? It's my favorite. Sometimes they're not very specific. Sometimes they'll say, sing that one about the Bible. That's my favorite. And we have a hard time figuring out which one that is. But they say, sing this one and sing that one. Now, when we get to heaven, you know we're all going to have the same favorite song? They tell us what it is. They're singing it in heaven. Verse 9 of chapter 5, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's our song. And when we get done singing it, maybe the choir director will say, what do you want to sing now? And somebody say, I like that last one. Let's sing that one over. We'll just sing it again unto the Lord, telling him he's worthy. But I think about the people that are there. I'm familiar with some of these Old Testament prophets. I'm familiar with some preachers that have gone on before. I used to travel with a man named Billy Kelly. He's an old mountain fella from Dark Corner, South Carolina. He always used to say, I'm a redheaded, pug-nosed Irishman. And he could put his hands on the pulpit like this and bug his eyes out, and he'd look like a bulldog at you, scare you to death. He scared me to death several times, but he let me travel with him. He was an unusual man. He loved God. He was a man who knew the Spirit of God, knew how to follow the leadership of the Lord. I've told people often, if I'd got in a service and Brother Kelly said, the Lord wants you to stand on your head in the corner, I'd have done my best to do it, because he knew what God wanted. He'd walked with the Lord. He'd get up and sing. He'd get up and preach, and God would bless him, and the Lord let me be around him. Would you mind if I told you a story about him? I was, Brother Joe Arthur and I, some of you may know Brother Joe Arthur, but he and I were young preachers, and we were with Brother Kelly. Now, this will help you young preachers. We were with Brother Kelly in a meeting in Cocoa, Florida. And so on, we were just young fellas, and there was big-time preachers preaching in the meeting. And so the preacher got up on Thursday, and he said, now, tomorrow we're going to give all the young preachers here 15 minutes to preach. Boy, that got me excited. So I said to my friend, Brother Joe, after the service, I said, you got your outline ready? He said, I'm ready. I said, well, I got one too. 15 minutes. And then there was another preacher there, and I said, you got your outline ready? He said, I ain't preaching. I said, what do you mean you're not preaching? He said, I'm not preaching a 15-minute message. He said, I take my preaching seriously. I'm not preaching a 15-minute message. Well, you know, when you're young, sometimes you're dumb. And so when he said that to me, I looked at Brother Joe and I said, I ain't preaching either. I take my preaching seriously. And Joe looked at me and said, well, I'm not preaching either. I take my preaching seriously. You know, we'd have been all right, but we made a big mistake. We got with Brother Kelly. He said, you boys got your outlines ready? I said, I ain't preaching. Joe's standing behind me. He said, I ain't preaching either. He said, what? I said, I ain't preaching. I take my, that's what that other fellow said. I ain't preaching. I take my preaching seriously. I'm not preaching no 15-minute message. Brother Kelly looked at me and he said, sit down right there. And I did. I sat down right there. He started preaching to us. He called us names. He said, you can preach everything you know in 5 minutes. You can't even fill 15 minutes up. And man, he laid us low. He might have cussed, I'm not sure. He told us we were sorry. He told us we were low down. And when he got all done, he said, and the main reason you're preaching is because it was my idea for you to get 15 minutes. He'd gone to that preacher, that pastor. He said, I got these two young preachers with me, and I sure would like to hear them preach. Would you give them 15 minutes? And we were so full of ourselves, we weren't going to preach 15 minutes. Say, what did you do? I got my outline out. I put it on a 3x5 card. I got up in the pulpit. I had a stopwatch because I didn't want to go over my 15 minutes. And I got up there nervous and had my 3x5 card upside down and preached anyway without my notes for 15. Well, I preached for 13 minutes and 12 seconds, or it might have been 12 minutes and 33 seconds. And I never looked up from the pulpit. I was trying to get my notes straightened out, and I just preached just like this. And when I looked up, there's people at the altar. There was folks crying. There was folks shouting. God was moving in the auditorium, and I almost missed it. You know what? One of these days, I'm going to look him in the face in heaven, and I'm going to thank him for taking a young preacher under his wing, carrying me around all over the country, teaching me things that I never would have known. I'm familiar with some preachers over there. I get to see Brother Jack Grigsby. He was one of my mentors. I'd pull into the Berean Baptist Church on State Line Road. I'd pull in there, and I'd be in the bus, or sometime I was in a trailer, whatever I was in. He'd come out, and he'd come in, he'd sit down. And I'd sit down and he'd say, have you ever thought about this? And for about an hour, he'd give me Bible study. I remember one time I went in there and he said, you ever thought about feet in the Bible? And he just took me through feet in the Bible and shoes. Took me on a trip through the Word of God. What he'd take me, he had a huge library. He'd take me to the office and he'd say to me, now, I'm going to lock the door. Don't you come out of here till you've read a book. And I'd go in there and I'd read a book. He had a big... He didn't have a desk. He had a table, had books all over it, books on every wall. Right above the table had a picture of a gorilla. A gorilla with his old belly stuck out and his arms like this and his ears like that. And it said underneath it, Diotrephes loveth to have the preeminence. He didn't want me to end up looking like that. I'm going to see him. I'm going to see some dear men of God. You see, somebody said, well, preacher, will you feel out of place in heaven? No, I'm going to be around the people that I've loved and that have loved me. I'm familiar with the prince. I'm familiar with the prophets. I'm familiar with these preachers. I'm familiar with just some precious people, just some precious saints of God along the way that have gone on ahead of me. My father-in-law, just about 3 weeks ago, went home to be with the Lord, went to heaven. He was witnessing to the nurse in the morning there before he died. Talked about Jesus. Had a smile on his face, and they'd come in and say, what are you so happy about? He'd say, because I know the Lord. Now I know I'm going to heaven. Been married 65 years. They said, how did that last? He said, because we both know Jesus. And he talked to him about Jesus. Went home to be with the Lord. I'm going to see him again. I'm going to see my mama and my daddy. I'm just telling you. Heaven's going to be a familiar place to us. There's one last thing I want you to think of, and that is I'm familiar with the practices that go on over there. You know, a lot of folks that dream about going to heaven, and one old Puritan writer said this. He said, 'tis folly to dream of heaven when every step is on the path to hell. But there's a lot of folks say, I'd like to go to heaven, but if they got there, they wouldn't like it because there ain't nothing going on over there that they'd ever want to be involved in. Not one thing. I tell you what's going on over there. We're going to be worshiping the King. I am familiar with what's going on in heaven. When I read Revelation chapter 5, and I didn't read much scripture, you can read it down through there. I'm familiar with what's going on. I'm familiar with the sayings over there. When they talk about worthy art thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, I'm familiar with that. I run with a crowd. I'm with that crowd right now that doesn't exalt themselves. They don't tell everybody what they did. They're always talking about what Jesus did for them, how wonderful it was to be saved and where they were when he found them. What a blessing it is to know Christ. I'm familiar with that kind of thing. I'm familiar with the services, the worship that goes on over there. You know, heaven's not going to be a quiet place. Some folks like a quiet service. Myself, I like for folks to get excited about the things of God. You know what I did one time? I ran in church one time. I'm not telling you to do this. I never did it ever again, but I did it one time. I was in a meeting, and Brother Joe Arthur and Brother Billy Kelly, we pulled into Stark, Florida, into the church, pulled into the service, and it was 10 minutes till service time, Sunday school. He looked at Joe, and he said, Joe, with this first we heard of it now, he said, Joe, you're preaching in Sunday school, and Brian, you're preaching the morning service. Man, scared the wits out of us. So we went in there, and Joe got to preaching, and he had the names of Christ memorized in the Bible. He had to memorize, just go through them alphabetical. And so I'm sitting out here, I'm supposed to preach next. I'm as nervous as I can be, I can't sit still anyway. And he got preaching about Jesus, and he got going through those names, and I got so excited, I couldn't hold still, and I got up and shouted, hallelujah, and ran out the back. There was a little partition, and now I'm not encouraging you to do this, I'm just telling you, okay? I got back in the back, and there was a little partition, and I got behind it. And I stopped and I thought, what do I do now? I'd seen people run in church. I never had paid attention to how they came back. We sang about the blood at Dr. Seidler's church one night. They got to running and fellas ran out. I never saw them come back. I don't know if they went to McDonald's or what. So I'm standing in the back trying to figure out what to do. So I thought, well, I'm preaching next. I got to go back in. So I just started calmly walking down the aisle toward my seat, and he hit them names again, and I took another lap, but I learned my lesson. I made it all the way back to my seat that time. Now, don't mistake me. I'm not trying to encourage you to run in church. That's the only time I ever did it in my life. Never have done it since. I've shouted amen and hallelujah and glory to God several times. But I'm just saying this to you. When they get to worshiping in heaven, it's not going to scare me. I'm not going to say, boy, I've never seen it on this fashion, because I've been around the crowd, like this crowd right here, that loves Jesus and loves God and wants to worship him and praise him and lift up his name. I've been around that crowd. It won't be strange to me. It'll be familiar to me. Heaven's going to be a familiar place. I'm familiar with the serving, because the Bible said his saints shall serve him. The Bible said in Revelation 22:3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. I had a lady tell me one time, I don't know if she's serious or not, but I was pastoring. She said, I don't know about heaven. She said, I don't sing, and I'm not involved in all that kind of stuff. She said, I just sitting around singing all the time. But, you know, the Bible says we're going to serve him. And if we've been serving him here, it won't be strange to be in heaven and spend all of our days serving him. You know what bothers me about my serving here? I get worn out. I get tired. My voice gets thin. My legs get weak. They never used to do that, but they do now some. But I'll get to heaven. Speaking of that, I was in a meeting last week. I got preaching, and I got off on something, and I told the young preachers, I said, now you young preachers, when you get around these older preachers, don't talk. Just listen. Don't tell them what you've been studying. Find out what they've been studying. Learn something from them. And then I said this. I said, I'm not talking about me. I'm not old. And I named three other preachers that were there. And I got in the fellowship hall, and we were eating. And one of them preachers, Brother Montgomery, said, Brother McBride, how old are you? I said, I'm 64. He said, I'm 59. And Brother Fletcher's 54. And Brother Stroud is, I can't remember, 52. Those are those older, I was the oldest preacher in the service.
Sometime I get tired. Sometime I get weary. Sometime my voice gets thin. I can't hit the high notes I used to hit or the low notes I used to hit. Sometimes my fingers don't work the way they're supposed to. Sometimes my mind gets befuddled and I can't remember things like I ought to be able to remember things. But when I get to heaven, there'll be no limitations on my serving Him. I never get weary. I never get worn out. My fingers will never get stiff. My legs will never get weak. My mind will never get befuddled. It'd be wonderful to be able to serve Him with no limitations. That'll be a wonderful time, won't it? I'm just saying to you, you ought to be excited about heaven. It is a familiar, you know, the more I preach about heaven, here's what it seems to me. Heaven sounds a lot like home. It's just home. Brother Kelly used to sing, I will not be a stranger when I get to that city. I'm acquainted with folks over there. And I say, amen. It's going to be wonderful to go to heaven. I'm glad there's a heaven, aren't you? You know what? I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying a little bit. You know what? This is the worst world you'll ever live in. If you're saved, it only gets better. But tonight, if you're lost, this is the best world you'll ever live in. It only gets worse after this. So I would invite you tonight, if you're unsaved, to repent and believe the gospel and be saved. And then I would say to you, my friend, you say, preacher, I'm going through struggle. I'm going through trial. I'm going through trouble. I'm so discouraged. Then let me ask you a question. Do you believe in heaven? Because if you believe in heaven, we know that one day God's going to make it all right. Let's just stay by the stuff. Let's just serve Him. And while we're serving Him, let's take as many people with us as we can. Let's find there's somebody somewhere doesn't know how sweet heaven is, doesn't know how wonderful it is to be a Christian. And the only way they're ever going to find out is if you'll tell them. I was preaching over in Ephrata, Pennsylvania. I was preaching one night, and I'd been there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and had one more night to go. And there was a fellow who never did stand up. He was sitting over here about the third row. There were two sections of pews, and he never did stand up. The song leader would get up, and he'd say, let's stand, and he wouldn't stand up. And they'd say, let's stand for prayer, and he wouldn't stand up. And he looked perfectly normal to me, and I couldn't figure out. I was up on the platform. I couldn't figure out why he wouldn't stand up. So on Tuesday, we had a handshake, and I went over there, and I reached out my hand. I said, how you doing? He said, better. I said, better. He said, yeah, I've been in the hospital 3 months. Just got out. Then he said this. He said, I don't know if you noticed it, but I have a hard time standing up. I didn't say anything. I said to him, well, I'm sorry you're in the hospital. He said, well, I didn't want to go. But he said, I led several nurses to Christ while I was in the hospital. You know what he was doing? He's taking somebody with him. We're on our way to a good place, a wonderful place. We're going to see the face of Jesus. Let's take just as many people with us as we can. And let's encourage our hearts thinking about the heaven that will one day be our eternal home. Thank God for heaven. Amen. Let's pray a moment. Father, we love you tonight. And we thank you for the truth of heaven. We thank you, Lord, there really is a land that is fairer than day. By faith, we can see it afar. And glad one day, Lord, as Brother Kelly used to say, we'll step off on the sweet banks of sunny deliverance. Lord, I'm glad there's a heaven, and I'm glad I'm going to see you face to face. I pray you help me never to live like there isn't a heaven. Help me never to be overwhelmed and discouraged. Help me to look forward and look upward. And Lord, help me to take somebody with me. Help me to tell somebody how wonderful it is to be saved on my way to heaven. I pray you'd encourage some heart tonight. I pray you'd rebuke us where we need to be rebuked. And I pray, Lord, you'd encourage us to tell somebody about that place we're going to and that we're going to see you there. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand. Brother Parsons is going to take the invitation.
As you stand tonight, the musicians are going to play. If God spoke to your heart, would you step out and come? Maybe you're here, you found your way in, and you don't know that you're sure that you're on your way to heaven. You don't know that you're saved. never accepted that Prince of Heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you like that tonight, if you'd come down and take my hand, I'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Brother Burt, would you lead us in a...
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, turning back, no turning back.
And a lot of people saved on the property. Well, there's a lot more souls that need to be saved. We've had a lot of anniversary Sundays and a lot of people have come to Christ. But there's people moving to Florida every day that need to hear about Jesus. Amen. We need to be the witness that we ought to be. Amen. It was a good message for us tonight. And reminded me about those that I'll see you on the other side. I've got some grandparents on the other side that have been faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ and taught me to be a soul winner. Amen? Well, I want you to do this for us tonight. If you would, you go tell Brother McBride how much you appreciate him. Amen? And turn around and tell somebody, you know, I'm so glad that I don't look like you. Amen. Some of you had some frowns on your face. All right, you're dismissed. Thank you for being with us tonight.